the Million Dollar Mortgage Experience Podcast.
All right, welcome to this episode. Today we're with Kimberly Cole. She is a seasoned real estate professional based in San Diego and the founder of Heritage Homes. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me. This is just a full circle moment to be here with you.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so tell us about how you got into the real estate business.
Yeah, so I always was fascinated with real estate since I was a little kid. I would look in the newspaper, just look at listings, and always just was fascinated by it. And my grandfather had a real estate brokerage, and everyone in my family had a real estate license. It was always kind of in my blood and there. Mm-hmm. And throughout college, I worked in different facets of real estate, had an opportunity to work with short sales, and really as an admin assistant, different roles in leadership in different companies. And it wasn't until I became a mom and was home with my kids that I was like, I need to get out of here and I need to go do something for myself and kind of find, have my own identity, essentially, not just being mom at home. And
that's cool.
And what happened was, it was actually like all those moms that I was networking with and going to play dates with and so forth. I at the time was doing real estate part-time, working open houses for an agent, and just really like doing real estate just to get out of the house because I was trying to find
have
that.
A break.
Have a little break. And a lot of my friends had said, hey, my husband's, you know, we want to expand. We want a bigger home. We want to move. And we want you to find us a house. And I was led with a few friends. And honestly, I had set out to be like pretty much every other real estate agent in San Diego, thinking, oh, I'll just sell like 3 houses a year and it's a side thing. And that's really what our industry is in San Diego because the threshold is so high and it's so competitive to get in. And I ended up selling 17 houses my first year.
Wow.
And I was the rookie of the year the San Diego Association of Realtors. And I just fell in love with the business. I fell in love with the people. I loved the competition. I loved the high of it. And I really just loved the thrill of getting somebody a house when it, you really have to be their advocate.
Totally.
And that was really what got me into the business.
What year was it again?
2017.
Okay. So yeah, it was probably, was it easier to buy a house in 2017?
Yes.
As far as like inventory, right? It was like way different.
Yeah. I mean, back then you would show a client 6 or 7 houses and you actually thought then there wasn't a lot of inventory. You're like, oh, sorry.
There's only like a letter, like a cover letter.
Yes. You wrote a letter with a photo, like all these things that our industry changes so much in just a matter of years.
Yeah. Cause you can't do photos anymore.
You can't do photos anymore. Yeah. You can't do love letters. And so we definitely, I mean, I started off with just working in a luxury office and I loved it because that gave me the confidence to break into luxury.
Yeah.
And so my first few sales were actually in the $1 million price point.
Nice.
And, you know, now we have to look, you know, we laugh because that's entry level here in San Diego, right?
I know. It's crazy. Like $1 million house, but it has 1 bedroom and no yard. You're like,
yeah, right.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So that used to be a lot of people's goals of say, I want to break into the luxury business. And now it's not, you know, it's different here in San Diego.
Yeah. And I think a lot of parts of the country.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, you still can buy a starter home and that's under 500,000 in multiple states, but you go like even anywhere nice in like Nashville, Tennessee, you're going to spend over that.
Right. Right.
Or like Austin or any, you know.
Yeah.
Any pretty good city that you'd want to move to at least.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily selling a luxury real estate. It's selling a luxury lifestyle now.
Yeah.
So when I am marketing a property, we used to put all the effort into the actual property with really high-end luxury videos. And now we are putting all of our marketing money in actually the neighborhood, the community. What are the clubs? What are the amenities? People are buying into a lifestyle. Rather than asking like, oh, is the kitchen upgraded? They want to know how close is it to Whole Foods? You know, I mean, that's that's what a buyers are looking for now.
How much traffic am I going to hit?
Yeah.
How close to the beach? How close? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's definitely turned how we market properties now.
Interesting.
In the last couple of years.
Yeah. Because there's so few listings now. It's just like, I can only imagine you have more of a listing agent or a buyer's agent or both?
It's about 50-50.
Okay.
So some years it's, right now it's 50-50. Last year it was 70% listings, 30% buyers. So it teeters, but yeah. I really enjoy working with buyers. And I think it's great for agents to also focus on working with buyers because that is a long-term business plan, because those buyers are going to eventually turn around and sell one day.
Yeah.
And it's also, you're able to stay in touch with them, offer them value if they need a refinance.
Right.
You know, yeah. You have a reason to call them. Where listings, they generally move out of the area if they're moving out of California. So that's,
right. And you're like, bye.
Yeah, it's hard to stay.
Can't do your deal. I can do your sale, but can't do
Yeah.
But you can refer.
Right.
And stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Tell us about Heritage.
Yeah, so Heritage Homes started in 2021, and I was approached by a lot of different brokers and firms to come and join their company. And I had this great new business model with a company called Side, based in the Bay Area, where they come alongside an agent and they partner with them. And it's all about their brand. And so what they do is they work with you in what's important to you in your business and help you create your brand, your image. And they do all the heavy lifting as far as the broker compliance and so forth. So
that's nice.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, I really, yeah, it's super nice because, you know, when you always have to have an exit strategy, and a lot of people don't necessarily have an exit strategy when it comes to selling. They think they're just going to sell real estate forever.
Yeah.
But rather than selling your book of business, you have to look at it as, are you going to be selling your brand? Are you going to be selling your company?
Yeah.
And that's going to be way more profitable when you decide
time
to retire,
yeah.
right? Than just selling like, here's my some agents.
Client list.
Yeah, here's my client list.
Give you $2 for
exactly,
that.
Exactly. Where when you're building a brand and an actual company, it's going to be way more profitable long term.
That's cool.
And it's also better, you know, to have a brand and an image that is contributing back to the community and is vested in the community.
That's
a lot of our brand is, it's really heavily focused on giving back to the community.
Nice. So do you have a team, or tell us about
that? Yeah. So I have a marketing assistant.
Okay.
I have a client care coordinator, and I have a few buyer's agents on my team, and also a transaction coordinator.
Cool.
So yeah, we're growing, and it's a tough market to get in as far as if you're a buyer's agent, because there's just not a lot of inventory.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy training new agents, and if they want to come alongside me, they have an opportunity to really see how I keep my clients and retention wise and what I do. And so it's a great opportunity for new agents who want to come alongside and see how I do it.
Are you hiring?
I am hiring.
All right.
Yeah. So
do you have a niche in your business? I know that they say the niche makes you rich,
mm-hmm.
right? And it sounds like you have a couple little niches.
Yeah. Course. So, I mean, past clients are really where a bulk of my business comes from. Mm-hmm. And my niche really is, it's where I'm doing life, and where I'm doing life is where I'm in the middle of the trenches of being a parent to two small kids in elementary school. A lot of my clients are living the same exact lifestyle, and I'm able to relate to families that are looking in the Poway Unified School District. So Poway is my niche, and you know, I'm from Poway just like you, John.
Shout out. So
I definitely have a niche working with families and helping them place their kids in schools and getting connected. And then I also recently just started working in the area of bankruptcy listings.
Okay.
Yeah. So that
has that been trending up, or is that?
What's funny is all the economics are saying there's a lot of defaults on auto loans and defaults on credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen that quite yet hit.
Those are the precursors for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So these are just cases that the attorneys I've been working with, there's a property in their portfolio, and it's been something where the case has been going on for years, and now they need to liquidate that property as part of the case and settle. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing a lot of that. Those properties, it's a long time frame, so you're in it for the long haul because you have to wait for court approval.
Yeah.
And so that's not a quick sale that's going to happen in 21 days. That's going to usually take about 90 days.
Yeah, makes sense.
For court approval. And then a lot of times we're the boots on the ground, working with the tenants, the property manager, helping the tenants get out, and then getting it prepped for the market. So it's a lot of pre-listing work before mm-hmm. it goes on the market. And then a lot of the properties are in distress. So they make... there's a lot of investors that come after these bankruptcy listings.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
What about seniors and military? I think you do a little of that
too. Well,
totally two different.
Yeah.
Size of business. But.
Being in Rancho Bernardo, mm-hmm. where it primarily a 55 and up community. Actually, it's the demographic has changed so much because a lot of those communities, we still have two pockets, Oaks North and Seven Oaks, that are 55 and up zone. However, a lot of new families are moving in because, you know, we had Apple move to Rancho Bernardo. So really? We had a lot of, yeah, a lot
I
of
I knew they there. Moved to, yeah. say, they didn't know what area, but
yeah. Rancho Bernardo. Yeah, so they're, yeah, they're on the west side of Rancho Bernardo. And so we've had a lot of executives come into Rancho Bernardo because of the schools. And so anyhow, going back to Rancho Bernardo 55 and up community, I have a designation working with seniors through the National Association of Realtors. It's a senior real estate specialist. And that's important for seniors because they know that I've been through a lot of courses and how to work with seniors, how to place them yeah. into independent or assisted living. I work with a lot of estate planners and also people who do estate sales. So I'm essentially like your one-stop shop when you're looking to move to that next phase of life.
Yeah.
And if that's, you know, liquidating everything in your house. And it's a lot of emotion, too, for seniors.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're losing a little bit of their independence by True. Giving up their home.
Right. And so, a lot of them have lived for a long time mm-hmm. in their home.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So they're losing their independence. They're losing, like, all the memories, mm-hmm. you know, and they're, I mean, they're losing memories, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're losing the memories of their house and their yeah. kind of safe space in a way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And you have to have like a lot of patience, you know, essentially, because it's yeah. on their timeline and
yeah.
don't want to be rushed.
Mode with
no.
like all the technology at their fingertips. There might be like, you know, let me get my glasses and yeah. you know, all those things
yeah.
that they have to do.
But that it's so beautiful too, to be able, because that's a lost aspect of our business is
totally.
To sit down with a client and go through the paperwork.
Just sitting down with a client is a lost art of
it
our
is.
Business, of,
it
of
is.
Any business these days, which
right.
is sad.
Yeah.
Because that was like such a cool part of when I got in the mortgage business. I was
right.
like very much face to face, very much drive. We call them lookups. We drive through. I lived up in Santa Rosa. So we would drive through Napa and I didn't drink wine back then because I was like, you know, just young and just didn't really have an appreciation for wine, but I would drive through Napa and I just wouldn't even look at the vineyards. Now, like I go through Napa, I'm like, this is like the such a beautiful place. But like sitting down with the client, going to see them, sitting them across from them, hearing what their needs are,
yeah,
versus just like a transaction,
right? Do you think it happened because of COVID, John? Like that we don't do face to face, or do you think it was the technology with DocuSign and like?
I think I think for sure technology has shifted everything.
Yeah.
But then I think COVID exasperated that, made it worse. You know?
Right.
Yeah. It's good and bad, and it's good because it's easier, but it's bad because then there's no relationship. But the people that are doing the relationship thing are winning. Like way more than the tech. I mean, the technology, if you did both and you could integrate them together, I think you could totally win in this market. But
right.
it's very difficult to for most people because they get lazy. They just send a link off. I mean, especially in the mortgage business, we send a link off, fill out this application. Well, the application was like the number one way to build rapport with a client because you get to spend time talking about their dependents, their job, how long they're at their job, what do they like about their job, all their other, you know, and it just goes into the whole rapport building, the whole relationship building thing of just sitting across from someone and or even just on the phone. But like, you know, with COVID, you could still do the FaceTime and the Zoom that became big, but there's no energy exchange.
Right.
It's like watching a screen, which is very odd.
Yeah.
Right? It's
yeah.
not natural.
One of the things a lot of clients tell me later on, why they chose to work with me is one of the first questions I ask them is, what are you looking for in a real estate agent? What is important to you? And they always say, no one asks that question. They just go right into like, what do you want? And it's really like, what's important to you?
Yeah,
what
are you
looking for? So I think, you know, being really good at asking questions is you have to have that skill. When you can't ask questions and you're just, good luck, buddy.
And I think just even like in relationships in general or like meeting people, networking, if you're not asking questions, you're really going to leave that conversation or that encounter with a poor view of you. Like,
right.
The other person's going to have a poor view of you because you didn't ask them any questions.
Yeah. And
people don't like talking with someone if they're not going to ask them any questions. It just seems very like self-centered or selfish,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But we become this like society where most people don't engage. Mm-hmm. They don't turn around and ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
And so the person asking the questions usually is kind of like left sort of like bummed about, because the energy exchange is totally one-sided.
Yeah, I totally see that.
And I don't know what it is with our society that has become that way.
Right.
Like I talk to more people that are like that.
Yeah.
Every day. Like it's not good.
But even just in the communication, I mean, I had a business coach and said, if they use emojis, you got to use emojis.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like mirroring, right?
Yeah, totally. Totally. So learning all of that, that's a whole new, just how technology has changed our communication process. But I think those of us that go back to the basics always win too.
Yeah.
And going back to, you know, the roots of this business is relationships and so forth.
And I'm thinking more too about your question, because COVID was really scary for people.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, mm-hmm. like I would say most people, some people, like, you know, I'm just saying facts. Like mm-hmm. I didn't really, my demographic, my age group.
Yeah.
I did a lot of research right out the gate. Like, oh, what's my risk of dying? 0.01%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if I got COVID, I had COVID. It wasn't that big of a deal for me,
mm-hmm.
thankfully. And so, like, I still went and lived my life. Like, mm-hmm. I was obviously careful around older people or my parents or whatever. But I wasn't worried about COVID. Mm-hmm. So, like, it didn't really change my view of how to interact with people. But mm-hmm. I think a lot of people were so worried about COVID that they would wear masks. And then it just, that completely strips your personable approach from, mm-hmm. You know, if you have a mask on, you can't see their expressions. Mm-hmm. You can't. It was really an odd time.
Yeah.
So thankful we're not in that anymore.
Oh my gosh. I'll never forget, like, the middle of COVID. I had I don't even know. It was a random lead. Like, I didn't know the person at all.
Yeah.
And so I'll never forget this, John. And this is like, we all have these like moments during COVID that we'll never forget. And I remember going to her house, and it was a listing appointment. And she asked that I wear a double mask, and she wore a double mask, and she had the heater on, and I was just sweating. It was so hot in there. And just like, are we really doing this? Or do you really want me to sell your house?
Can we go outside?
Yeah, exactly. And so, one of the things that has, and you guys have a beautiful office, but a lot of agents' offices are at their houses.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that happened as a result of COVID is it's really hard to get people to come into the office.
Yeah, it really
is. It's really hard to get clients to come into the office. And when you're trying to show your value and like, you know, hey, let's come to my office. I have a great office. I'd love for you to. It's in the heart of Rancho Bernardo where I'm at. And they're like, let's just go to the house. So you have to be a little bit
legit. And then I have spent all this time and money and effort into this. Yeah.
So that's one of the things that it was and I think also that changed the model too, where you do see so many hybrid offices now and business models that, you know, there's a lot less overhead to pay for these big fancy offices for in the agent realm. I don't know for you guys.
Yeah, and there was a big announcement recently for buyer's mm-hmm. agents.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know much about that?
Yes, I do.
I haven't dug into it, so I'd love to hear your opinion on it.
I mean, I think the beauty of it is that we now have to have this all doesn't take place until July.
Okay.
And, you know, my mom always said, and I'm a person of faith, like, don't worry about tomorrow's issues. They're not here.
Yeah.
So I'm not spending a lot of energy on this at all. Like, I'm just not. I'm happy to have a quick conversation about it, but I'm really not spending a lot of thought into this and a lot of energy, because there was this conversation 6 months ago and previously when this lawsuit was filed. So a lot of people have put a lot of energy and time in this, and this is how it played out. And it could still play out differently come July.
It could be appealed or whatever, right?
Yeah. So I don't, but the beauty of it is, here's some facts about it, is the fact of the matter is that buyers now will need to sign a contract to work with you. And that's nice from the aspect of you're not going to have people that, you know, fly away or that are using up your time.
Cut you out.
And that are serious. So, and it's also going to be the buyer's responsibility, they're saying, to pay the commissions.
Mm.
Well, I really think that sellers are going to still be creative
and
find ways to pay that commission to the buyer's agent. So there's
what
is open up is a lot of creativity is going to happen in this mm-hmm. business. And a lot of new companies are probably going to be started. And, you know, for the MLS, there will no longer be this section of what the cooperating broker fee is. Mm. Well, they're just going to get smarter and probably put it somewhere else.
Yeah, right.
So our agents are going to text each other. I mean, there's going to be, yeah. or they're
going
to
use. Do you have any buyers? Like if everything right. shifts at all, like right now it's been so mm-hmm. flipped, right? Like it's all towards the listing agent,
yeah.
like all towards the seller. It's a seller's market.
Mm-hmm.
If for some reason it ever flipped or at least got really more kind of neutral, then sellers, of course, would be like, I need buyers. Like, mm-hmm. Bring me a buyer and yeah. I'll, yeah, we'll share, you know, whatever it is, right? Yeah. Is it still, are they capping the seller's commission too?
There's no caps on anything. So it's still all negotiable. So you
can still go to six to the seller and then the seller could
it's
pay your
still,
corporation
yeah.
if and he's if, a broker. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
always been negotiable. It's still negotiable. And I think, you know, you and I both like finer things and we like things that are high quality.
Especially
and,
tequila.
Yes,
like
especially.
Tequila
yes,
sure.
thank you. And, you know, I mean, my husband and I recently were downtown at an event mm-hmm. and I'm not going to take an Uber, like, I'm not going to take a regular Uber. I'm going to take an Uber X, and
right.
you know, like I'm going to take the
Uber
you know,
Black.
Is that, yeah, yeah, I'm not going to take the Uber X is what I'm saying. I'm going to take it because I'm going to feel safer getting right. home. They're going to have a TCP license. It's going to be a safer car.
Yep.
And I think that's going to be exactly, it's just, I hate to say this silly saying, you pay for what you get.
Yeah.
And so most of my clients are busy executives, two working people.
Yeah.
And they're focused on their careers, they're focused on their family. They're not going to want to run around trying to find, you know, and negotiate on their, you know, a house.
Yeah.
So, and it's also a liability to the seller.
Yeah.
So the seller is going to want to make sure that they have proper representation. So I don't see my job going away anytime soon.
Right.
And I don't see the way how I'm paid to be changed dramatically. I think we just have to get creative.
Yeah.
So,
that's good. I like yeah. your optimism. I love that. Back to the Uber thing, and if anyone has daughters, I have a daughter.
Yeah.
And you have a daughter.
Yes, I do.
My daughter takes Ubers,
uh-huh.
and someone told me, I think it was in England or something, that mm-hmm. never let your daughter take a Uber that is not a Black,
mm-hmm.
because even if you have to spend the extra money, which I would no matter what anyway, but for her, you know, if she's in college,
yeah.
or whatever, she's not going to want to spend the extra money. I will pay for it. Because they have to go through a whole different licensing.
Exactly.
They have to have like a professional license versus just like they could sign up for Uber, you know, yesterday and be a complete crazy person or,
mm-hmm.
you know, have bad intentions just to find people and be alone with them in their car. So definitely get Uber Black.
Yes.
Pay the extra money.
Yes.
Little shout out for Uber's Black.
Yeah.
And all that because it's way safer.
Yeah, I don't want to be in a Ford Focus driving, you know, up the 5 or the 15 on my way home from a night out and
have the person not licensed and
yeah,
not like
yeah,
you know, have more scrutiny
exactly.
and all that because even if it's a Ford Focus, who cares, right? But just as long as it's like someone that you know
yeah,
couldn't
yeah.
have just signed up yesterday
that, yeah,
and it's going to
yeah.
take you down the wrong dark alley and you know, you'll never see yeah. someone, you know.
You yeah. can tell the mom in me is coming out because I'm all about safety. Like, I want to yes. be in a Volvo or, like,
yeah,
a really
yeah.
safe
not
car.
A Ford Focus. I don't want to be in a little car.
I'm all about, yeah, high safety ratings.
Yes.
That's the mom hat is coming out right now, so.
I don't even know what a Ford Focus looks like.
Yeah.
It's probably small?
Yeah, a small car. I just using that for context, you know,
yeah,
wanting to
I just thought of
be
the,
safe.
The word Ford, but, like, Ford makes pretty cool cars, too.
Yeah,
Mustangs
you're right.
And
you're right.
I had a Mustang once.
Yeah, you did?
Yeah.
Was that your first car?
No, it was like my first car was the worst car ever. It was like a poop brown Nissan Sentra. It was like, and I was in high school and I'm like, Dad, really? This is a car? And he's like, well, there's this awesome Toyota Supra, but the miles are, you know,
yeah.
100,000 and this is a shitty looking brown Nissan that like 4,000 miles.
Yeah.
Same price. You know, he's like, do you want to... And it is the smart thing to do is get the more reliable
yeah.
car. But it totally didn't do anything for my high school career.
Yeah.
Like I was driving and like hiding and parking in the way back so no one saw me. And
yeah.
But looking back, I think it's probably smart.
Did you have to pay for your car?
Yeah.
Yeah. Me
Part
too.
Of it.
Yeah. Okay.
They helped, but
yeah.
I had to have a job and
yeah.
which we made our kids do.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, they didn't pay. We paid for part of it and they paid for part
yeah.
of it.
I think there should definitely be some skin in the game.
Always. I love skin in the game.
Yeah.
Skin in the game in real mm-hmm. estate is huge in when we make our exceptions, like
mm-hmm.
in our loans and stuff.
Yeah.
Like if someone's just getting all gift or they're doing cash out and then the cash out's equal now to what they paid for the house back in the day, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, we don't like that. It's just,
yeah.
it's like there's no skin in the game then.
Mm-hmm.
So from everything from, you know, kids buying cars to real estate and mortgages. You need skin in the game.
Yeah, even with marketing. I mean, it's huge. You got to have skin in the game. So.
Well, you do as a real estate agent when you're selling, like when you're doing a listing appointment, right? Do you talk to them about how much money you're going to spend on marketing or?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's definitely a part of the listing appointment is what the marketing and it is, you know, everything again is negotiable, but really I'm putting my name on this and especially if it's in my market and I look at it as your property is going to help me market to get, you know, more listings and, you know, definitely want to make sure that we're going all in. So I like to spend money on marketing. I enjoy it. Actually, it's kind of a trait that
cool.
I'll spend a little too much on it, but I love spending money on video. I think it's essential. And you know,
the drone shots and all that.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when it's a community that's got golf courses around it or amenities and you want to show that. So the drone, the twilight tours, I mean, we go all in. And when I started out in luxury. So the threshold was really high on the marketing dollar that we spent. And so I will spend that on a mobile home too.
Yeah.
So I believe everyone deserves to have marketing as a luxury property, whatever price point it's at.
Right.
And
a little bit different budget though.
Yeah. 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 So, but I definitely think that it's wise to spend money on marketing because you're only going to hurt your seller.
Yeah.
It's going to show, especially like people still do really bad photos. And it's like, we are in a day and age with iPhones and like,
everything is photos. Everything is how, like your first impression.
Right. And what I tell my clients too, is that yes, the buyer will get into escrow, but we're still selling it with those photos because guess what? The appraiser is looking at those photos, right? And if they have questions, they're going to look at the photos. They're going to judge the house by looking at the photos before they come out and do the appraisal. Then they're probably going to go back and look through those photos. And then the buyer's going to still look at those photos at midnight when they're questioning if they have cold feet or not.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to send it to their cousin, their friend, all the neighbors are going to see.
Everyone's going to be looking at those photos, all their friends. Yeah.
And then even, you know, you may have potential sellers that are looking at your quality of work too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, marketing is so huge in our business. And
are there like Instagram filters for houses?
I don't know, John.
Bold glamour for like the house to make it look that much prettier.
You know, I just
which would be totally terrible because then you show up and you're like, this house is not what I looked at online.
Yeah. Do you want to know something funny? When I first started, I was an assistant for an agent, and he would give me a camera, and I would have to go take photos, and I would sit in the corner of the room and try to make it look bigger.
Yeah.
And then I would take the SIM card and have like a converter and then upload it. And make the flyer in Microsoft Publisher. That totally dates me right now. But like, So that's, we used to take our own photos.
Like, use like some of the cleanup tools.
Yeah,
totally. There's a spot on the wall. Clean it up.
And this was also when I started. It was before MapQuest and navigation. And so there was a Thomas Guide.
Wow. Yeah, that's I remember Thomas Guide too. But that,
and so I'd have to map out the agents. You know, their route for their showings and schedule the showings and so forth. So now it's like the address is there, you click the link and your GPS takes you.
Yep.
So it's our business has come so far.
Totally. Yeah. It really has. Let's talk about repeat business.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you doing? Are there any tricks or tips that you can share with others?
Yeah. Just love on the people that gave you the opportunity to work with them and that privilege to help them buy or sell a house. And so I continue to stay in touch with all of my clients. I do things that are easy for me to do because when I say easy, it's easy to relate to them and something that is easy for them to come to. So I do a lot of client events and I host, you know, events for them to bring their families to. I don't want a client like to host a party where they're going to feel like they have to spend money to attend by spending $100 for a babysitter and make it difficult for them to come. So I do events where even at listings, I'll have an ice cream truck and I'll tell, you know, my past clients, hey, I'm going to be at, you know, a house around the block from you guys. Come by, have free ice cream. The neighbors come. I'll do events that support new businesses in the community. So, for example, in Rancho Bernardo, there's this new place called The Golf Bar.
Okay.
And they have golf simulators inside. It's a really cool place. And so I hosted an event there for my clients to all come have a Sunday fun day. It was Father's Day themed.
That's cool.
And they were able just to have a
dads can all golf.
Yeah. A Sunday.
Hit the balls.
A Sunday fun day on me. I do things that are of value to people. So it's not just shot skis and, you know, oh, look at me, your agent. It's like, what, I want to do something for you. In the past, for Mother's Day, it was a Mother's Day theme / women that have been influential in the community that I wanted to praise. And so I rented out a nail salon and had them all come for a manicure pedicure throughout the day.
That's cool.
So I just love on the people that have loved on me by referring business to me. And I think that is the easy, it's, and it comes naturally. Like one of my spiritual gifts is hospitality. I really love serving and taking care of people. And so it comes naturally to host people and do things for others, you know, whether it's they're a client or not. I mean, half the time it's friends that come too and just like, come everyone, I want you to be together. And I really like, you know, I've built a community within a community with my business.
That's cool.
And I think that's really special as something that it wasn't intentional to happen, but there is now a community within my business.
That's cool. Do you know how many clients you've had over the years?
I've done about 200 transactions, give or take. We're teetering around that in the last 7 years. And I have about 400 people in my database that I constantly stay in touch with.
Any funny stories about someone you're like, I'll never work with them again? You don't have to name names, but like, are there any like transactions that went so bad, not on your part, but like, they were just so hard to work with, and you're just like,
oh my gosh,
we're gonna do this again.
Oh,
like, I don't care if I ever get repeat business from them.
I've had people
put you on the spot there,
yeah,
Kimberly.
People that are a little crazy, and then I Googled them and found out why they're crazy because they didn't want TMZ to find them, that they were like an ex celebrity. Like, you would never, ever. Have totally
changed things.
Totally changed.
Oh wow!
Like total alter identity.
Wow.
So, I've had, and they're crazy, and you're like, you're crazy for some reason. Like,
yeah, like I'm not working with you.
Yeah. And so we've had agents in our office, obviously, people that you suspect cartel money, you know? And so, but hey, their kids want to go to good private schools too, you know?
Right,
so,
they might've killed somebody, but
I mean, think about it, John. I mean, if you're trying to market a $25 million house at the ranch, like there's only
several people that could buy that.
Yeah. I mean, Russian czars and
cartel,
so,
billionaires.
John, all I got to say is there's a list for a list. There's right. lists everywhere, as you know, in marketing. Yep. So you can buy names to market to those people. And
it's true.
I know people, I don't do it as part of my business plan, but I know people that specifically will market to the spouses of billionaires.
Really?
And market to them schools.
Interesting.
And doing retargeting ads. So they see the schools, which then leads them to the community.
Which is so big and top of mind for the moms. That's like what they're focused on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So they can get into their head, then they can, you know, influence the husband and the dad.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it just kind of starts from there.
Yeah. You got to get really
interesting niche
creative when you're marketing at those really high price points.
So me and Preston used to send out these envelopes to high-end, like, real estate homes. Like, and the envelopes were like, they looked like a wedding invitation. We have somebody handwrite it all, calligraphy, right? And then it was like, you're cordially invited to lower your rate or whatever it was, right?
Yeah.
Lower your payments. We you know, we specialize in luxury homes. Call us today, you know, John Maddox, and then my number.
Yeah.
And we would mail those just to like the most expensive zip codes. And, you know, we got, I think I did like a bunch of deals from it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Bunch of deals, like, because it's all about, first you got to get through the first layer of defense, which is just tossing it, right, or opening it. And so they're going to open it if it looks like a wedding invitation. Then they open it and they're like, oh, this is a nice, you know, handwritten, which nobody writes handwritten letters anymore. Nice handwritten letter, so I'll at least read it. So that's the second part, is reading it. And then it's like, well, yeah, I could probably lower my rates, let me at least call this person that took all the effort to do this. And then, boom, get a call, and it was a $3 million loan or whatever.
Yeah.
So stuff like that. Like I think marketing for me is like also just how much effort are you putting into it versus just buying a lead or
you know,
spending a campaign on Google or whatever.
Yeah. And there's got to be a little bit of fun element to it, you know, having fun with it. I mean, my client events are, they're marketing events too, but we're having fun at it also. So
and knowing like who your demographic is, so like how, if you're like marketing to a certain age group and you could, that you knew went to a university that, you know, maybe we're in a fraternity or sorority, you could do something with that. Like there's probably a ton of different ideas that you could, you could market.
The big thing right now in that they're teaching, or at least, I don't know if it's a spin on it or, you know, is stop marketing to the masses, market to your avatar. So I've been hearing that over and over and again. I don't know if you guys are hearing that with through your channels.
Haven't heard that. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
Tell us more about that.
I mean, who's your avatar? Like, who's your demographic? Who's your ideal client? You're going to enjoy what you do a lot more, and so is that person. And you're going to be happy doing what you're doing if it's your ideal client. And that goes, you know, for lenders, like working with agents. Like, who is your ideal agent you want to work with? And for me, when it comes to working with lenders, I want to work with lenders that are, I have a lot in common with and that are easy to hang out with and that totally get me. Like I'm, you know, when I'm doing $5 million, you know, just to totally get it. I mean, sometimes lenders want to offer value by like, hey, can I take you to lunch? Or, hey, can I, you know, do you want to go get happy hour at 4 o'clock? And like, you don't know me. I have to pick up my kids. Like, that's not important to me. Like, if you want to work with, you know, me and have an opportunity to get my business, like find out like what I need.
Yeah.
I need my kid to be better at hitting the ball in baseball.
Yeah.
So your kid plays baseball. Can you take him to the batting cages?
Yeah.
Like actually one of the lenders I work with, like he did that. I was like, that's cool. He's like, do you want to grab lunch? I'm like, no. Can you take Alex to the batting cage with your son?
Yeah.
Like that means way more to me. That offers, that's helping my son.
Yeah.
Then.
And helping you.
Yeah. And definitely
and
helping.
Then you now have a little time.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly. So it's, finding that rapport. And things that person, what they value. And it's like, hey, if you want to help my kid, like you will totally get my business. Like that is huge. Cool. So,
and that just takes a little effort, right? That just takes like the thought of, you know, me back to what we were talking about earlier, asking questions and saying like, not just me, like asking the right questions.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because it's true. We all have needs. We all have things that we'll have doorways that will open if you know, have the right code, which the code could be, like you just said, my son loves to play baseball. Right?
So, and so he's into golf right now. So anyone wants golfs? To teach him how to play golf,
anyone work with Kimberly.
I'll give you my next deal.
That's funny. I just makes me think of a story. You know, we've all heard of Gary Vaynerchuk.
Right? Yeah, totally.
And Gary Vaynerchuk was up on stage and someone was like, what's the best way to get a hold of you? And he's like, honestly, he's like, I just started a wine business. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to reach me, try through that avenue. And he didn't like give out his email or anything like that. But he's like, that I'm passionate about this wine business that I have. And so, you know, I mean, I've even seen people like reach out to me about the tequila thing and try to get my attention.
Yeah.
This is like mortgages and tequila. And so, of course, I opened that email. Yeah. Right. And so like, but it's so true. If you can find out what someone's like into, what their needs are. Mm-hmm. What their passions are, then it's going to totally open the door.
Right. Exactly.
It's good.
Yeah.
What's your biggest challenge right now?
I feel like I don't have enough time in the day. Just wish there was more hours in the day.
We could buy more hours.
So, yeah.
Just make it 28.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can only drink so much Celsius and stay up late. Right. No, I just wish there was more hours in the day. I feel like there's opportunity all around us. And I think that's my biggest struggle is like, I just can't get to it all. So it's, you know, being better at delegating and time management and so forth. So that's something that I'm really trying to dial down my calendar to like 30-minute increments and really just maximize. And, you know, when my husband's in the Navy, and when he was deployed, you know, it's interesting how I literally had like so many hours to get things done because I had the kids in the afternoon and I was a single parent household. So it's interesting when you're under stress or when you're about to go on a vacation, like how efficient you become, right?
Oh, yeah, true.
And so I'm, you know, have that mindset of like, okay, and actually I'm going on vacation and I just opened $3 million in escrow yesterday. So it's like when
it
you're about,
happens,
it's like, you know, having that mindset of you know, having to, we're leaving on a vacation and I need to get as much done as I can. So yeah, more hours in the day would be great. And of course, more inventory would be helpful.
Yeah.
What I'm experiencing right now working with buyers is in the areas like Carmel Valley, PQ, Poway. These are really hot areas right now.
Right.
And We're
great
seeing
schools.
Yeah. And we're seeing everything in escrow, $100,000 to $200,000 over, you know, we're back to 2022 spring prices. So, when buyers are looking at the value, they're like, okay, we're right at back to 2022.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah. Yeah.
And they're not building any new houses.
No, no, they're not.
They, you know, there was people that talked about the silver tsunami. Have you heard of this before?
No.
It was like this thought that like all these, back to what you were talking about, retired, you know, working with people that were older, seniors.
Yeah.
That a lot of these seniors were just going to, you know, flood the market with their homes as they go into retirement homes and retirement communities. Mm-hmm. But that just didn't happen.
No.
And I don't see it happening. It's not like there's no real like, up. I mean, there might be a little bit of a trend line up, but I think a lot of them are either going to stay in their home till they die or they're going to, you know, and then pass their home on to their kids. And then who knows what they'll do with it. But yeah, so like the listings, there's nobody making new homes, nobody building new homes, hardly. All the homes that are being purchased are either being redone, renovated, back on the market, or they're doing density. So they're turning them into not even a single family anymore. They're turning into an apartment building or, you know, eight units or whatever, or adding like a bunch of ADUs to them. So they're not even really like a single family type of home. And so like that starter home, that family home, like where it's just so hard.
Yeah. Yeah. And
so hard.
And you see what's going on in our neighborhood. Like every four houses, there's a porta potty in front of it. And you're like, they're not moving because they're adding on and they have contractors at their house. And going back to the seniors, I have a few clients and they're on wait lists to get into independent living for 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, so that's probably part of it too.
Yeah, so that's part of it. And also the cost of these places to move to are extremely expensive. So it's actually more cost effective to get an at-home nurse and healthcare company to come to you. And so there's...
Or even like your kids move back in. Or
yeah.
Like one of your kids, right? Like that's probably what's happening too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's a lot of, I've heard, you know, the millennial in the basement that lives in your mom's basement. Like that's a real thing. Like,
yeah.
So, so these parents aren't needing to, they're like, you're living with me, but you're going to help me out. Right. Like that's probably part of that too. So there's no silver tsunami.
No, no. And what I'm seeing also too is a lot of people are building ADUs for themselves and for their kids.
Right.
Too. And we also had a client that what they're going to do, I found this interesting, is they're, young couple, they're going to buy a condo and their parents were looking at the condo because when they have a family, they're going to flip houses. So I was like, oh, I haven't seen that strategy yet. So you're looking for your first, can you imagine looking for your first condo and your parents are looking at it with you and your parents have the mindset that they're going to switch with you.
Interesting. Like, as soon as you get married, have kids, you switch.
So we've seen that as something. And then, as you know, San Diego is such a huge military area that the military owns most of our real estate in San Diego. So there's nowhere really else to build. And then we go to the ocean. So,
Very, contained.
So we just have to get a little bit more strategic and find some of those off-market opportunities before they get on the MLS if you're representing buyers and make it a win-win for everybody.
Totally.
So, Yeah.
So I'm sure you have mortgage brokers that come try to get your business, right? Do you have any stories about like what's the worst or best? What was the worst or best approach?
I think one of the worst approaches was, they're like, hey, can I come work an open house with you? And I'm like, hey, why don't we go to coffee first? Like, why would I want to hang? I've never met you. You're a total stranger. Like, why would I want to sit with you at an open house for 3 hours when I never met you? So that was kind of like, whoa, like a little too forward.
Yeah, especially
because
the open house is just you two.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is like more commitment. Than
right.
Coffee
and then
and with people.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I think going to, hey, can I sit an open house with you? Maybe, hey, can I, you know, can we grab coffee or can I bring you coffee?
Yeah.
You know,
better.
I mean,
right?
I think that's really hard for to pull an agent out of their office or what they're doing. So like come to them is a better strategy.
Right.
So that was a recent one. I was like, are you serious? Like,
I don't know why people don't get that. Like, why don't they flip it around and think like, what would I want someone to do for me if they wanted my business? Which goes to like, can I bring you In-N-Out Burger? Or can I bring you a coffee with some donut or some a breakfast burrito? Like whatever. Right. And like figuring that out first and then making it so hard for them to say no.
Right. Yeah.
Versus like, can you get in your car, drive all the way, meet me middle, like right? Yeah. Like halfway through San Diego in traffic.
Yeah.
And then maybe like to, for what? Like, I don't need, like you need me. I don't need you. Like,
Figure out what their pain points are. Like, I don't like doing, I mean, not really a big, huge fan of doing open houses.
Yeah.
I don't like putting signs out. Like, go put my signs out.
There you go. Yeah.
Like, I know it sounds silly, but I mean, think about what is something, ask them like, what are your pain points?
Yeah.
Ask if you're cold calling on an agent, say, what are your pain points right now in your business? And they're obviously going to say inventory. Like, what's something you don't like doing? You know?
I don't like putting signs in yards.
So, and, I mean, I don't know. I'm just being silly here. That is a different strategy. I mean, think about what people need versus, I mean, really, it comes down to what is your degree of separation? What makes you different than the 10 other lenders that called me today?
Right.
So, I want to know what makes you different.
What was the best one?
I think anyone that's willing to, I mean, Padre tickets are always nice, right?
No.
The lender that I'm working with right now, I think that was really cool that he helped my kid, you know, be a better player at baseball and stuff. So, and it was so easy because he was going to take his son to the batting cages. Thing, so it's like stuff like that. Like, that's important to me.
Yeah.
Being creative is definitely, that's the way to.
Like, take 5 minutes, get out a piece of paper and write down some ideas versus just shooting from the hip.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if you're going to go approach somebody, unless you're really damn good at, like, you know, cold approach and, like, you know, you're funny and you have this charm, like, think about what it is, like you just said, like what it is that could help this person.
Right.
What could be my approach? What could, and then do it, you know, practice it and figure it out.
So, John, where do you get your entrepreneur spirit from?
Good question. I'm a son of a preacher, as you know.
Yes.
And not the kind that, like, you know, makes everyone empty their pockets, you know, and does the big, big rah-rah offering. So we didn't have a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I look back and I think, I remember a moment when I wanted a skateboard because I was a skate rat, you know, and I was like probably 13, something like that, 12, 13.
Which your nephew is so much like you. It's funny. Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
That's a whole other topic. Yeah. love the kid. I remember a moment when I wanted a skateboard and I couldn't get it. My dad or mom were like, wait for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, then Christmas came and it wasn't a skateboard, it was just a deck. Right. And and I was still like, you know, that's all they could afford.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, I was really kind of bummed. And then I think my mom took me, to a little specialty store, like those kind of stores that have the weird unique cards and like little candles and, you know, funny like sayings that you can hang in your house.
Yeah.
And, you know, like
a Hallmark store or something. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was like, it was like more of a mom and pop store, and it had, and I remember this basket of bubble gum that was like in a, like near the counter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a penny per wrapped piece of bubble gum. And I think I had $5 saved, which is crazy because that's so nothing now. I had $5 and I got 500 pieces of gum. Mm-hmm. And I basically cleaned them out.
Mm-hmm.
And I put them all in my backpack and I sold them I made $50. Sold them 10 cents each.
Wow.
And I got $50 and I was able to go buy like some skateboard stuff. So I did that like every week at school and I was just making money and I was just like hustling bubble gum in all my classes and like turning, you know, $5 into $50 before the lunch bell rang. Literally my first four classes, everyone would buy like 10, they'd all have a dollar for their lunch and they'd just start buying the gum.
Yeah.
And then I got totally busted by the principal and he called me in and was like, can't be selling gum in the school. So I got my first regulatory action when I was, I think I was 12 or 13.
Yeah.
And then I knew how to make money. It was like really an arbitrage deal. It was like, I knew how to find the gum. And I knew where the demand was. The demand was in my school. And
then,
you know, so I kind of always wanted to do arbitrage in a product.
Yeah.
And so when I got into the mortgage business, I was good at sales and doing all that as a mortgage broker. But then when I went and I went back to the wanting to have a product, I was like, I need to do wholesale.
Mm.
And then I can have a product and I don't have to be the front person, you know. And so we did wholesale. And then obviously tequila. Like tequila now is my product and in a side hustle. But I don't know. I think my dad was always a visionary and always doing up to something, you know, up to some cool little project besides doing running the church. But yeah, so I saw him do different things, and
yeah,
I think I was programmed at a young age to like think out of the box.
Yeah.
But really was that moment of the bubblegum that
yeah.
that made
that
me.
That was your defining moment.
Realize that I could sell stuff and
wow.
and make money out of basically nothing.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So. That's funny. My son actually, he got in trouble for, this was last year when that drink Prime was like really popular. And so yeah. he was taking it to school and selling it. And so he had a similar, so hopefully.
What, you weren't able to get him like what he needed? Like you weren't able to buy him a skateboard?
Oh yeah, no, or... we did the, yeah, no, yeah.
No, but that's cool that yeah. he, even without like growing, I mean, because you guys, you know, you make pretty good money, I imagine. So, but like, but yeah, that's cool. I mean, you, yeah. cause you have to kind of encourage that
yeah.
out of your kids. Same with my kids. Like mm-hmm. they haven't lived, you know, a life like I did,
mm-hmm.
but you know, they, if you put in rules and like, you know, no, I'm just yeah. not going to give you free money, like,
yeah.
you know, make them pay for some of their car or yeah. whatever, like they can have skin in the game. Yeah.
We're not paying for our kids' college. And everyone's like, why aren't you saving for your kids' college? And, and that was just something my husband and I, we both paid our way through school.
Yeah.
And if there's a will, there's a way. And I mean, mm-hmm. we'll help them. So most certainly my parents helped, you know, co-sign for loans for me and help me,
right.
whether it was paying my car insurance or help me, but they didn't actually like say, we're going to pay for college. It's something that I want my kids, if they want that they're going to work for it and skin maybe somehow it'll get paid for.
Yeah.
But there was definitely, I think that degree felt so, that piece of paper, when I got that piece of paper, felt
you worked for it.
I worked so hard for it.
Yeah.
And my husband too, his parents, they, he went to the military and did a military ROTC scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
And so that helped pay for him. But his parents also were like, we're not saving. We don't have a fund for you for school. And so I think that, you know, definitely, you know, made our shells a little bit harder and also gave us a little bit more skin in the game for what we wanted.
It's good.
And so, I mean, everyone's got their different strategy and tactic if they're going to pay for college. And who mm-hmm. knows, my kids are a lot younger than yours, but if that'll even, it'll be totally paid for by yeah. then or what, you
right.
know.
You never so, know.
Yeah. And it was a really good feeling too when I paid off my student loans. So
that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard some people say that, like, I'm not going to pay for my kids' college and make them get student loans. Mm-hmm. And then if they graduate and they get good grades, yeah. I'll pay it off. All
yeah.
off.
Yeah.
And then it gives them that motivation to like finish and to be great at it and to get
right.
a certain GPA or whatever it is. Right.
Yeah.
Cause otherwise they'll just go party and
yeah.
not yeah. finish or whatever.
Well, that's where you build a lot of your work ethic study, you know, like that.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Cause you have no one, you know, making you do your get up at certain times yeah, and show up. And
that's where you learn accountability.
Yeah.
I mean, you actually have to pay for school now. So you have to be accountable to that.
Right.
To show up and to finish it out. And then, you know, it was important and it still is, but we're seeing it necessarily with so much tech and people as YouTube stars and college degree isn't necessary. But, you know, it was really important at a point to get you into the door.
Right.
And so knowing that, too. You know, for me going to USD, being part of the USD Real Estate Alumni Network, it really helped when I graduated. I was so blessed to have job offers
mm-hmm.
from alumni
That's
around
so cool.
San Diego. And I was in the driver's seat of where I wanted to work.
Because you had so many options versus
yeah.
like, oh, here's this one little option. I
right.
don't know what else to do.
Right. Yeah. yeah. So actually, I went into commercial real estate right out of college. And that was fascinating to work mm-hmm. more on the corporate side.
Mm-hmm.
One of my biggest, I don't want to say like regrets, but if I could have made the decision over again,
mm-hmm.
I chose, rather than choosing a specialty, because I could have chose retail and commercial, industrial, office leasing, office sales, or apartments, multifamily.
What'd you do?
I went to work for the person versus the specialty because that the guy was just amazing. I was like, I want to work for this guy. He's really awesome. And it was industrial leasing and it was so blah. It was not fun. I mean, it was just, you know, I like working with the public and
yeah.
I like marketing something that's beautiful. And my job was preparing presentations in a big boardroom.
Mm.
To these big, huge
like Amazon or something
owners,
like that. Yeah.
yeah, no, they're massive real estate portfolios
mm-hmm.
owners. They weren't, you know, you weren't talking directly to the consumer
right.
or the tenant. So,
yeah.
looking
back,
corporate
board or whatever.
It was super. It was too corporate for me, and that. Yeah. And then I have that entrepreneur spirit like you do, and I was like, I don't know if I can't clock in and clock out every day. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So I tried it. It was a really good experience, and I'm so glad I had that experience.
Who's this person that you can shout out to?
that was Chris Pascal. Yeah, he works at CP Richard Ellis. So I just remember he was really cool. All the guys in that group were really cool. And back then, and still, like, there's very few females in commercial real estate.
Right.
So I thought that was really cool to get an opportunity to work in that environment.
That's cool.
And see the commercial side of it. And it was really cool because it came full circle. Recently, I just sold a multifamily property across the street from USD.
Oh, cool. That's
so
awesome.
So, yeah, that was really neat. And that was a really cool full circle moment.
How many units was it?
4 units.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, I'm sure that those things go for a lot.
Yeah, that was 2.7. So, yeah.
It's crazy how much prices have
gone. You know who was the buyer? Many of the buyers who actually were looking at it, I don't think this buyer actually had students at USD, but a lot of the buyers are parents.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And they buy like 4 unit, but then their kid's going to stay in one, and they can rent all the other 3 out and pay for the whole thing.
Yeah. So
smart.
Most of the buyers that were calling were like, I have a student at USD, or my son's going to law school, and we don't want to pay rent anymore. We want to buy property. And they were real estate investors, the parents.
That's cool.
So I thought that was neat.
So what are some secrets to your success? Some habits you do and...
Yeah.
Yeah, you can share.
I think one of the secrets is to have patience. And nobody talks about patience on podcasts.
It's important. Yeah. So boring.
Everyone yeah, exactly. They talk about the hustle, the grind, you know, the 5 a.m. club, which I'm a part of a 5 a.m. club, right? That is one of my secrets.
5 a.m. It's the worst time.
Yeah,
ever.
Yeah, yeah. So I did 5 a.m. for like 5 years, and then I burned out so bad.
I'm such a night person that 5 a.m. is like closer to when I go to bed than when I get up.
No, I'm a morning person, but that just, it eats at you for a while. So yeah, I think patience, having like patience and just seeing that, especially if you're in this I started selling real estate at, you know, a lot of people get in when they're older as a second career.
Right.
And so I started when my kids were babies, which is crazy when I look at pictures, and they were, you know, 2 and 3 years old when I started, and now they're 10 and 11. So they're like, we're all like growing up together. Like I'm growing a business and they're growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so having patience and knowing that, you know, it's all going to see through all your hard work that you're doing, the marketing dollars that you're putting into your business, and just building it, is knowing that perseverance and having that is a virtue. Habits, though, going back to habits, a lot of it is being disciplined with your schedule and really trying to stay with your schedule. I'm really trying to incorporate fun into my life and not take life so serious. So
is that important?
I think it's important.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that is a quality that I wish I could turn down a little bit with the intensity.
Mm-hmm.
But if I didn't have the intensity, I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't have the ambition, and I wouldn't, you know, have the success I've had.
Right.
But it's knowing like, okay, like I don't want to necessarily, you know, count all my eggs before they hatch, but like we're doing well. Like you can look back at your sales, and you can look back at your history and your patterns, and you're doing pretty well. You should be able to do this for the next couple of years. So
yeah, have a little fun.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, I think all of us, you know, if you don't have your fitness, you don't have a business. So you really got to take care of your mind, body, and soul, and really.
So hard to. Some people are programmed to be fit and fitness. Like they grew up watching their parents do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Not me. Mm-mm.
Insane. I mean, I love my parents, but I didn't see them at the gym or doing running or doing anything. Mm-mm. Right. Like I have friends that they run with their kids and they run, you know, and their kids now run, you know, marathons, and they're only 15 or whatever. And you're like, but it's hard for people, I think, especially as they get older, to say like, oh crap, I need to.
Yeah.
It's slipping away.
Like,
I need to get fit. And to your point of like, how important it is to have a fit mind, but fit body, and it all kind of is all entangled together.
Yeah.
Like if you don't have all those different elements, then you're going to be lacking in other ways, you know?
Yeah. I'm open about it, but I struggle with anxiety, and I calm, you know, you can't just use tequila.
It helps a little bit.
It helps for sure. But it's not the perfect magic pill. But exercise really helps me clear my head.
Yeah.
And yeah, I didn't even know it was a tool really until after I had kids and I was like, I need to clear my head. And
yeah,
you know, I mean, then comes Peloton, which I did actually really well with Peloton stock.
Did you?
So I bought Peloton stock on March 13th when our kids came home from school and school, they're like, you're going to have to homeschool your kids.
Is it 2020?
2020, March 13th.
You're like, oh, I think this is going to be good.
Every text message I got was from a lot of my friends that stay home and go to the gym all day. And they're like, what am I going to do? I have to be at home with my husband all day. Yeah. And I can't go to a gym. And so I gave out 10 Peloton codes that day because I had a Peloton.
Yeah.
I was like one of the first people that had a Peloton treadmill. And so I gave out 10 Peloton codes and I called my financial guy and I said, move all of my savings into Peloton stock. And he said, Kim, I don't advise that.
Risky.
Like, you need to sign off on this. Like, it's not
was that
even.
Before, what was the day when it all crashed? It was like in, was it in March?
It was
like,
March 13th.
And everything was just dumping.
That was like the Friday that they sent your kids home with all of their books and were like, yeah, we don't know when your kid's coming back to school.
And the market was just.
Yeah. And the grocery stores had lines and Costco and the toilet paper.
I remember I called my friend who loves buying stock, this guy, Pete, and he was like, I'm like, dude, what's going on? Like, you watch the stock market all the time. He's like, buy everything. And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, just whatever you do, just buy it all. Buy whatever you buy. It. Yes. Home Depot, buy this, buy. And I'm like, okay, dude, cool.
Yeah.
He's like, I gotta go. And I clicked and I hung up and I was like, okay. And I just started moving money into like different stocks too. And I was like, I should buy some commodities too. And I started buying a little of that, but yeah, it was a good,
yeah.
I mean, when it was like down, everything was down so much.
That's when you buy, right?
Yeah. That's what they say. Yeah. You make your money when you buy.
Yeah. Well, it helped me with a down payment for our house that we bought. So,
that's so cool.
Yeah. So that was
good
one
on
of my...
you to see that.
Like yeah.
That Peloton thing was a big trend.
I'm an emotional. I buy stocks and investments off emotion, which is so wrong. And
I usually
so
do
what they say.
At stock.
I just do what everyone else. Like, I see the trends. So yeah.
My problem is I see a trend and then I miss the sale of it. Like, my kids love Snapchat and I was like, oh, I'm gonna buy Snapchat stock.
Yeah.
And I did. And it like shot up and then went down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but I still own it. So I'm like, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, you know.
What about what's your favorite failure story? Like where it turned into a success?
Oh gosh. You know, it's hard. I was actually telling Ryan this earlier that I can't see anything as a failure. Like, I don't know why, if it's not a word in my programming. I mean, maybe a mistake.
Anything that you go, oh crap. And that happened. And then you're like, but then you're like, okay, I never did that again. Or I learned from it. Or, you know what I mean? Like, there's usually in entrepreneurs' lives, there's something that you kind of like almost down to the smallest thing of when like Edison was, you know, doing the light bulb and he just had to do it 300, whatever, how many times it was. Right.
Yeah.
Failed that many times till he was one step closer to a win, you know, like maybe was it like your first client? You didn't, you know, something happened. Like,
I just had something happen yesterday. Like,
tell us, there we go. But as long as you believe that, like, it's going to turn into something cool.
So one of my neighbors told me that another neighbor, I live in a predominantly neighborhood where everyone's original owners from the 70s. So they're like in their 90s.
Okay.
And so they said, so-and-so.
Great for parties.
What?
Great for parties.
Yeah. So totally. Yeah. They said, oh, so-and-so is in hospice and, you know, their family's coming in. They're going to need to sell their house. Like, Kim, my neighbors love me. And they're like, you should go leave their information. Give me, you know, their information and I'll leave it for them. And I said, oh, I'll just drop, like, thinking mom's in hospice, you know, just. Yeah, that's what I do, is I market, right? Like, I'm just trying to be a resource. So I leave the package and someone hears me and they come out the door and this man says, can I help you? And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I heard about your mom. And he's like, come inside. And his mom was right there, like, dying.
Oh, no.
And I felt so bad because, like, I was just like, no, I didn't. I'm so sorry. So I ended up bringing them dinner and So I don't want to say it was a failure, but it was just one of those things in our business that, like,
you turn it into a good, right?
Now yeah, like you turn it into good. So, but it was really embarrassing because I was like, I did not want to be there. I felt really gross, like, to be there as like, oh, I'm a realtor looking like to sell.
Ambulance chaser.
Totally. Yeah. But you know, turned it around and like, gosh, I feel so bad for them. I mean, that's really sad. And so, but stuff like that, you know, happens where you're just, you think you're trying to be in your embarrassed. I was embarrassed. Like, so I've had a lot of embarrassing things happen, you know, and showing houses and stuff like that. So that happens a lot. scary things happen too. And
when you show houses.
Yeah. It's terrifying. Yeah.
And you know, especially being a woman.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Absolutely.
And a short woman.
Yeah.
5 foot tall, right?
Yeah. I mean, what job does somebody like sit by themselves? I mean, I don't do this anymore. I actually always have people with me, but and people take offense. Like, I'll have people call and they'll say, well, you know, people don't call off signs anymore. They see a house on Zillow some app or whatever. Yeah. But like, occasionally I'll get a sign call. Yeah. Hi, I'm standing in front of, you know, your listing and your name's on the sign, and I wanted to see if you can come over and show it to me. Well, hi, who are you?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know anything about you. I don't know, you know, like, you could be a mass murderer. And I've had to say, like, hey, would you mind meeting me at my office first? Are you and they're just like, I just want to see it. And I said, you know,
that's
with all due respect.
Yeah.
And I'm somebody's mom. I'm someone's daughter. Like, I don't know you. Would you want your daughter just to go open up a house for some random stranger? And so when you phrase it that way, people are, oh, yeah. Like, I was just curious. I wanted to see what they did to the remodel in their kitchen. Like, it's just a lot
of
times.
It's probably usually a neighbor, too, that's nosy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So,
but you never can be too careful.
No. So I think that's something. And
unless
we're,
you carry a big sidearm.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's something I don't publicly say, oh, yeah, I have protection. But I'm really good about, you know, texting my husband or family members like, hey, I'm here. And this is then when I'm leaving my office, when I'm going somewhere. So, I mean, I definitely like I want people to track me.
Yeah.
And so they always know where I'm going and what I'm showing. And then bringing lenders back in, I do like lenders to come to open houses, and they have an opportunity to talk about rates and talk about their products and gain clients too. So I think it is beneficial for lenders to come to open houses and broker caravans with the agents, especially, you know, if you shouldn't be in a house by yourself. So there's just weirdos.
No.
Yeah. We actually have a Facebook page where we as agents post pictures, or the seller will give us the Ring camera of people that have walked in that we think have stolen or are suspicious or doing. So we all look out for each other when weird stuff kind of happens. And when we,
it's sad that has to be something that people have to watch out for.
Yeah. What's sad is, you know, it makes a lot of people not want to do open houses and so forth. And I see that too. There's definitely an argument to that to be had. I've had clients get medication stolen and things stolen out of their houses before. Wow. So, and you know, you always have that conversation with people when you list their property, the things you need to do to prepare. It's not just preparing your home by staging. It's putting valuables away.
Safe or whatever. Yeah.
And putting medication away. And I had a seller and she's like, I would have never thought someone would, you know, want my Xanax. Yeah, totally. So, that happens. And so we have to have those conversations too. Those real life conversations. And also, like, this is really crazy to think about, but I'm always thinking, like, how am I going to escape? Like, if I'm in a condo and the access is on the second story, like, is there a way out? So I'm always thinking those things too. My husband is very involved in Krav Maga, and that's the, it's a self-defense. It's a combo of different self-defenses, but it's what the Israeli defense forces use. And it's real life training. And so they'll do simulations in synagogues and churches and parking lots. Mm. And I find it really helpful and encourage, you know, if people haven't heard about Krav Maga, to get involved in it.
Yeah.
Because you can learn a lot just in a 2-hour session.
2 hours that could save your life.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
very valuable.
Yeah.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Any shout outs for anyone that helped you along the way?
How about your sister Jessica and Rachel? Because I wouldn't know you.
Jessica and Rachel.
I wouldn't have met you without them. And back in the day at Mission and stuff, so that was a really cool chapter of everyone's lives.
Yeah.
And again, to see your success is so amazing. And
thank you.
Everyone is like thriving in life and we're all blessed to be healthy and here.
And made it through the crisis of the interest rates.
Yeah.
Call it like the interest rate apocalypse. It was so, it, you know, it, mm-hmm. it was better than like, I think some people said 2008 was worse, but like, or it was, this was worse than 2008, but it was, yeah, it was not fun.
What's so crazy, John, is that we started out 2024 thinking it was going to be really slow. And we were completely blindsided thinking, oh, well, it's not going to pick up until rates go down. Yeah. It picked up and rates went up.
Yeah.
It was, it's totally a different narrative than I would have read into.
Yeah.
It's definitely
picking up.
We were all blindsided like second week of January. We're like, wait, we're back to multiple offers and rates are here and they're not here.
Yeah.
So that's encouraging.
I think there's some optimism out there, which is encouraging.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
How does someone find you?
You can reach out to me on Instagram at Kimberly Cole or at Heritage Homes. It's one of the best ways through social media, or you can find me, at 858-231-4997 if people still call.
Hopefully some people still do. Yeah, or text, so, right?
Yeah, yeah. Or I'm sure my info will be in the info here.
Yeah, we'll post. We'll put some links and stuff right when we get to work and do all that. Well, cool. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, John. I appreciate it.
And everyone, please like, share, subscribe, go follow Kimberly, and we'll see you on the next one.
The Million Dollar Mortgage Experience Podcast.